Today on Real Life Radio.
The clothes and the palm branches are laid down on the path. Jesus is riding on the back of a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. And every Jew who knew their Bible, Jesus held them accountable to know the scriptures. What's my point? He's going to hold you and I exactly accountable to know the same scriptures.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Well, friends, listen, it's been 2 years here at the Real Life Network, and God has been so good to us. God put it on our hearts to create a network that would be cancel-free, censorship-free, uncompromising, so that we could bring the truth to anyone, anywhere. God has been so good to us these last 2 years, everybody, and we want to thank all of you. So today, we are amazed that over 70 million minutes of biblical worldview truth has been on our programming and viewed by you, the audience, on the Real Life Network. Every piece of our content on the Real Life Network is rooted in God's Word so that it's safe, it's secure. So listen, spread the word with us, will you? Encourage friends and family to join the Real Life Network and that we might grow together this community of believers all around the world.
So if you haven't checked it out already, that's the Real Life Network, streaming the best in Christian and conservative content. Sign up and start streaming today for free at reallifenetwork.com. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series now called The Parables of Jesus, and a message today called The Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 3. A parable is a picture story painted by Jesus that makes the truth of the Bible crystal clear. But with this parable, it's important that we take our time by laying down a firm foundation for its message. You see, this is one parable that God really wants us to understand. There's a real spirit of apathy that's been growing in the world about the gospel of Christ. And if we miss this parable, we stand the chance of missing out on our eternal life in heaven with our Lord. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the end times doctrine is vital to our faith. We live in some amazing times, and we can count on what Jesus spoke of in this parable, that when we recognize the hour in which we live, we can trust that God will keep His promises and His Word. Now, with his message called Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 3, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 25, know therefore, do you hear any wiggle room in that? It's a command. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, or 7 times 7, and 62 weeks, that would be 7 times 62. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublesome times or under difficult circumstances. Verse 26. But after the 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, killed. Listen, don't raise your hand, but are you Jewish tonight? Daniel prophesied that the Messiah of Israel would be killed. That goes against everything that a Jew is taught today. And yet, that's exactly what the Hebrew scriptures say. He shall be cut off or killed, but not for himself and the people of the prince who is to come. This is the one who commits the abomination of desolation. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end shall be with a flood. The word is army, not flood with water. Will be with a war, an army. Till the end of the war, desolations are determined. Then he shall confirm, that is the prince that's to come, not the Messiah, but the prince, he shall confirm a covenant with many for what? 1 week. Now, don't let the word week mess you up. It's hepstad in Hebrew. It simply means 1 7. Seven. 7 minutes, 7 hours, 7 days, seven weeks. We know now from prophecy being fulfilled that 1 week, the word means one 7-year period of time. You'll see this in a moment. And I hope your hair just stands up. in a good way. But he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week, in the half of a seven, he shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be, listen, one who makes desolate. Translation, what does that mean? The abomination of desolation. Matthew 24, verse 15. You say, Pastor Jack, what in the world did I just read? This is what you just read. In a moment, I'm going to put this up on the screen for you in simplicity. Watch this. And I wrote this down, paraphrasing it. Watch this. Imagine God is now speaking to you or to Daniel. I will deal with you, Israel, regarding a special period of time totaling 490 years, the 70 weeks of Daniel. This is the tremendous Holy of Holies of Bible prophecy. 70 sevens turns out to be 490 years. Those years will come to you clearly and in an exact way. You won't have to guess, but I will require of you to pay close attention to the age and to the time, to the culture of your day. The first phase will be like this. It will begin with the restoration project under Nehemiah, the Nehemiah in your Bible, in Jerusalem. The project will take, here's the answer to the first equation, 49 years. And that's exactly what happened in history. Then after the second phase will occur, which will add an additional 434 years. Don't worry, I'm going to put it on the screen in a moment. That equals 483 years. When you put 49 plus 434 together, it's 483 years. Remember, the prophecy was 490 years. God is going to deal in a special way regarding Israel. Watch this. But after the 434th year segment, the portion, has come to an end, then the Messiah shall come for the first time to Jerusalem. He will be killed. Then some 2,000 years will pass until the end of days comes. Those last remaining days are made up of a final period of time of 7 years. They will be the worst of all. They will be the great tribulation period, which will complete the prophecy given to Daniel. That's a paraphrased rendering. Let's look at it on the screen. Guys, put that slide up, and you're going to need to write this down. How do you unlock Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, which is the key to understanding Bible prophecy? And I hope for some of you, gives you a tremendous vitamin B shot regarding faith in your scripture. The equation given regarding the 7 weeks and the 62 weeks and all works out to this. 49 years plus the 434 years. So listen, 7 times 7 is how much? 49. 7 times 62 is 434. Do you see that? Can you see that in your head? Somebody say yes. Yes. 7 times 7 is 49. That's what the angel told Daniel. Then he said, hey, Daniel, what's 7 times 62? Daniel went, 7 times 62 is 434. And the angel said, at the end of the second segment of mathematical equations, the first segment is 7 times 7. And then the second segment, the second part of your problem you have to work out, is the 62 times 7. That's the 434 part. At the end of the second segment, the Messiah will be cut off. The Messiah is going to die. When you put 49 and 434 together, you come out to 483 years. You say, well, who cares? We care. I'll tell you the reason why. 483 years from March 14th, 445 BC, write it down. We taught on this recently on the Palm Sunday, by the way. On March 14th, 445 BC, a day known in history, King Artaxerxes turned to his cupbearer. He was so trusted that the king didn't eat any food until this guy ate some food. ate the food, and the king didn't drink any wine until this guy drank the wine, and if that guy fell over dead, then the king didn't drink the wine or eat the food. The king's cupbearer was a guy by the name of Nehemiah, and you have his book in your Bible, Nehemiah. The king turns to Nehemiah and says, I don't like how sad you are. I love you, man. You're a great guy. My life is dependent upon you. Why are you so bummed out? And he said, King, live forever. Don't kill me for being sad. But how can I be glad? He said, what do you mean? My city, my homeland is in ruin. The walls have been burned. The gates have been destroyed. The city is in rubble. Jerusalem is laid waste. And as a Jew, that's our identity. And I cannot smile anymore. And the king was so bummed. He said, you know what, Nehemiah? By official decree, I will fund the rebuilding of Jerusalem. I will give you letters of supply and transport. You can go through all the countries back to your country, and I'll give you safe passage on my own word. I'll fund the whole thing. And when you're done, you just make sure you come back. And Nehemiah went, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And he went, and you ought to read the book of Nehemiah to move your heart, because he surveys the walls when he arrives on horseback. And it's amazing.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
That decree was not only declared in the Bible, but any skeptic in the house, it was discovered in archaeology. What date was it? March 14th, 445 BC. You see, so what? This is the so what. From March 14th, 445 BC, the decree goes out. It's wrapped up in the 49-year factor. It's given. Nehemiah leaves, and Jerusalem is in a reconstruction process. Then, the 62 times 7 is the 483. Nehemiah is now long dead. Daniel has got this recorded. It's in the Jewish writings. When you put those together and you come out to the 483rd year, it just so happens, listen, that according to the biblical calendar, from Genesis to Revelation, my dear friend, your biblical calendar, your Bible, when it gives dates, are not dates given on a 365-day calendar. That's a Greek calendar. You and I live off of a Greek pagan calendar. The Jews live off a 360-day calendar. 360, not 365. From March 14th, 445 BC, in a 360-day year, you come to the year 483 years down the road. From March 14th, 445 BC, 483 years in a 360-day calendar is 173,880 days. 173,880 days. Some of you are like going, I'm going to go to sleep now. Well, here's the punchline. Wake up. Here it is. From March 14th, 445 BC, 173,880 days is 483 years. You land on a day. It happens to be a Sunday. It happens to be April. It happens to be April 6th, 32 AD. The day that Jesus came into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus in Matthew 23 held every Jew responsible to know that day. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you had only recognized this thy day, the joy that was before you, but now it's taken from you, all because you did not recognize the day of your visitation. He held them accountable to know not the week, not the month, not the year, the day. Every Jew could have gotten up on Palm Sunday, and maybe many did. Maybe many of them did. But you could have gotten up that Sunday as a Jew on Palm Sunday, 32 AD. You could have gotten up that day and got your kids dressed and said, "Kids, we're going to go down. We're going to go to Jerusalem because we're going to meet the Messiah today." And Jesus held them accountable to know it. That should have been a big wow factor for you. That is the fulfillment of literally the first coming of Christ. The first coming of Jesus was not Bethlehem. That's where he was born. His official arrival to the nation was when he allowed himself to be worshipped as king. "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," fulfilling Psalm 118. The clothes and the palm branches are laid down on the path. Jesus is riding on the back of a donkey, fulfilling Zechariah 9:9. And every Jew who knew their Bible, Jesus held them accountable to know the scriptures. What's my point? He's going to hold you and I exactly accountable to know the same scriptures. You want to sleep through this? To your own peril. You want to go to a church that won't talk about this stuff? To your own peril. We don't talk about future stuff because it's just confusing and then... We're supposed to know it. You see, why should I know it? Because if God keeps his promises to the nth degree, he will also keep his promise to present you faultless before his presence in glory. He will keep the same promise to make sure that you enter heaven born again. He will make sure that you experience all that he's promised. Listen, it's Bible prophecy that gives you the assurance that God keeps his word. Outside, you remove Bible prophecy from your Bible, you have no guarantee that God keeps his word. None. You have no hope of God keeping his word if there's no Bible prophecy. None. That's why Jesus said, "I've told you these things in advance, that when it happens, you will believe." That's why this is so vitally important. Jesus said, when you see that wicked imposter standing in the holy place who commits the abomination of desolation, in Matthew 24, Jesus says, for those of you who are alive at that time, when you see that happen, you better come down from your housetop, you better run into the wilderness, and you better pray that you're not nursing baby because that'll slow you down, and you better hope that Jerusalem, it doesn't snow that day because that will slow you up. He's speaking specifically to the Jewish people. It's absolutely awesome. Regarding the fig tree and the last day's events, Jesus says, watch and be ready. Mark this down. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is anointed by the Holy Spirit to speak about the future. And here's the amazing thing. I'm going to give you a 2,000-year-old scripture passage. You're right now in the 21st century, and what he's speaking about, listen, has not yet happened. But I can tell you this right now. I'd love to, let me tell you, if I was a billionaire, I'd get this whole Wednesday night church service on airplanes, and we would go on over to Jerusalem. I could take you to the Temple Institute. Why? Because they have reconstructed in gold and in silver the actual utensils. They can't wait. They've got the high priest gown made. They've got the ephod made. They've been waiting. They've got the red heifers. Over. That's ancient history now. They've been doing red heifers. They've been raising red heifers to purify the temple for over 10 years. They have already the special blue dye that has to be used for the priest robe. And they have found that dye in a sea snail. And Israel is sitting on that all that data. They're waiting. The next time you look at the Temple Mount, forget about the Dome of the Rock Mosque. Forget about it. It's irrelevant and worthless. Has nothing to do with your Bible prophecy. Exact. I mean, not regarding our argument here tonight. When you're looking at the Temple Mount, to the right of the Dome of the Rock Mosque is a vacant lot that can house perfectly the old temple of old perfectly. They're waiting for the permission to rebuild the temple. My dear friends, listen. I talked with literal men whose life is dedicated to establishing, in fact, they have it, the cornerstone of the temple. They have it in waiting. And they're waiting to lay it down, and they're waiting for permission. When you read a moment ago in Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, that he shall confirm a covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week. What's one, if you just went through this math problem here, what's 1 week? How long is 1 week? Can you guys put that slide back up real quick, the one with the time? Look at this. Do you remember the prophecy given was 77s are determined for your holy people and your nation, your city. 70 times 7 is 490. Jesus died on the 483rd year. The church age has been going on for 2,000 years where the gospel goes out to the Gentile world. You're sitting in it. The problem is, if you take 483 from 490, you got 7 years unaccounted for. No, you don't. It's the 7 years that the Bible says in Daniel 9, this man that's going to defile the nation, the temple, he's going to confirm a covenant with the Jewish people for 1 week, seven. The Bible tells us in numerous places that halfway through, in fact, it tells you 1,260 days into that seven-year commitment, 3.5 years is 1,260 days, he's going to cut off his agreement with the Jewish people. In the Bible says, in the middle of the week, he will break the covenant. Okay, listen. The seven-year tribulation is that 7 years.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Parable of the Fig Tree, Part 3. Thanks for joining us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was ministering right here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
I sat right beside June Hunt at the in Dallas at the CBN convention for the last dinner. It was pretty cool.
She's awesome. And
she's sweet, but you'd never know. I mean, when we were sitting there talking, I thought, this lady is so sweet. She's probably with someone who's, you know, prominent in our...
Oh, yeah, she is.
She's
with Jesus.
She's with Jesus.
All the time.
And she is too, man.
June Hunt walks with the Lord.
I was so impressed with her.
She is a wonderful woman of God. We've got a book that we could not endorse enough. Yeah. And it's not only because we love June Hunt, but this is a book that literally has over 11,000 biblical references in it. It's the Biblical Counseling Reference Guide. Davey, this is amazing because, look, we all need this book because why? It references and answers 580 real-life topics, issues of life.
And it's been said it's not a book that you'd read from cover to cover.
True.
Right? She covers all kinds of topics like anxiety, anger, forgiveness, you know?
Well, look, in fact, I'll do book roulette, not a good thing to do. But with this book, you can do it.
Good, yeah.
So I'm flipping through the book. I'm going to stop and I'm going to open it up.
What do you got?
And here is a string of verses on complaining and grumbling.
No kidding.
So the Lord must have had us open it up for producer Johnny. Just kidding. But you guys, this book, it's that wonderful. Here's another one, grief. And I'm looking, I don't know how many verses here on what does the Bible say about grieving? We all need to know this. Yeah. Please get this book. If I had the money, I'd buy it and give it to all of you. The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide, 580 real life topics, 11,000 verses. June Hunt, I mean, it's just over the top.
You know, she really seems like a person that just leans on the Word of God. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every once in a while you meet somebody, you go, wow, this person knows the Word of God.
I tell you what, and I hope she's not listening to this broadcast right now because she'll be embarrassed. But when I've been around June Hunt, I have the deep sense that I'm in the presence of someone who really knows the Lord in a very intimate way, very personal way. This woman walks, speaks, and ministers in the grace of God. She's a wonderful saint, and we just thank the world of her. And you guys, all that wisdom and guidance coming from the Bible and organized by June Hunt.
It's kind of a tool that you turn to when, you know, life hits with hard questions and stuff. And you know, when a counseling situation comes up, it's great to have.
Well, and you mentioned the word counseling, as is the title of the book, The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide. What I would like to do is encourage everybody, because, you know, people will hear the word counseling and they'll think either A, they don't need it,
yeah,
or B, they don't know how to give it. Mm-hmm. How about this? This book will equip you to give out biblical guidance,
yeah,
to those who ask, and for yourself. And, you know, and June Hunt, again, we've talked about how precious she is, but she's the founder of the wonderful ministry Hope for the Heart. And she's a treasure in the church today, and we're grateful to God for her.
The Biblical Counseling Reference Guide by June Hunt. It's our thank you gift for your donation of any size to Real Life this month. And if you'd like to order your copy, and we hope you will, just visit jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. Order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.